So this morning, y'all, we're going to conclude our sermon series, Thrive. When we talk about thriving, we talk about flourishing. We talk about growing. We talk about maturing. We talk about increase. That's what the word thrive means. To thrive in this world, in this life, means to do better and to be better. Guess what? God wants you and me to thrive in this life. But the reality is we cannot thrive on our own terms the way the world considers thriving. I said in the previous weeks, listen, you can be successful in this world's eyes and you can flunk with God. Yeah. But if we are to thrive, if we are to flourish and grow and mature, we have to do it God's way. Just a little bit of a recap. We started out the series from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We talked about living the good life, living the good life. All of us want to live the good life, and I suppose at some level that means something to us all personally, maybe a little bit different. What does it look like to you to live the good life? But living the good life really means living a God life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he'll add all things to you. That at the foundation of our life in living a good life, it's founded on and focused on the priority is Jesus Christ and what he wants for our lives. Then we talked about a work that matters as we consider our vocation, what we do, whatever you do in this life, that you ought to do it as unto the Lord, as not unto people, because God will reward you, God will reward me in the end. And last week for Father's Day, we talked about a father's flourishing faith, but not simply that of a father, but to all of us, that God has given to each of us a measure of faith, and we want that faith to thrive. We want it to grow. We talked about that man, that father who came to Jesus because he wanted his son to be healed, but he left. Jesus said to him, go ahead and go, walk it out. Your son is going to live. Yeah. That he believed before he ever saw it. Listen, we walk by faith and not by sight. In our maturation of faith, that's what God wants us all to believe God, to take him at his word, to take him at his promises. We ought to believe before we could ever even see it. So in this last lesson today, I want you to use your imagination for a moment. Imagine this, that you own a house. And this house that you own, you got it going on like that. You got another house. And so you rent this house to a relative. You rent this house to a close friend. And you give it to him at a real good price, y'all. You rent it at a real good price. And so now when you rent this to your friend, when you rent this to your relative, some of y'all saying like, no, I wouldn't do it. No, but when you rent this to them, follow me. Use your imagination. Don't stay with me, y'all. Stay with me. That you turn it over to him. You give it to him. Listen, the lawn is well manicured. The flower beds are all in order. The flowers are growing. The grass is well watered, y'all. The exterior of the house is looking good. You turn it over to them, y'all. The carpets on the in-house side, they're all cleaned up. They're staying clean, all nice. That the wooden floors in the house, y'all, have no scratches, have no blemishes. Everything looks real good. No scuff marks on it, y'all. That the walls, that they're painted well. The children haven't painted, have put in the little crayon marks and stuff all over the world. Everything is looking good. You turn it over to them, y'all, but 2 or 3 months later, you visit with that neighbor, you visit with that friend, you visit with that family in your house. And y'all, it's tore from the floor. You drive up and the grass is all burned up. It looks like hay. The flower beds have weeds growing up everywhere. You walk in, the carpet is filthy, y'all. Scuff marks in the wooden floor, scratches, deep scratches in the wooden floor, y'all. The walls, y'all, they are dirty and they are dingy. The kids and did what they do. They took the magic mark, they drew all over the wall. Now I wonder, what would you say or what would you do in that moment? I think all of us, we would be hurt, number one. We would be hurt. But not so much hurt just because they damaged our house, but the disrespect that they showed our house that we so graciously rented out to them. I want to tell y'all something this morning. I would want to give them an eviction notice. You might be my rep, but you got to go. But how about this? God has given each and every one of us something far greater than a rented house. That God has given us our bodies. But I wonder how many of us use our bodies in ways that are inappropriate to God. That it's just disposable. We can do anything we think we want to do with our bodies. That somehow, do we think that our bodies are worthless? Or do we abuse our bodies? Turn with me, y'all, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, as I read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Two verses. Says this. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. I want to encourage our hearts this morning with the thought, your body, God's property. Your body, God's property. So Paul in the text today, he reminds the church at Corinth, but he reminds us today, listen, that our bodies are not just flesh and bones, that your body is a grace space, that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, that the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you and me, that Paul uses the temple language. Those that know the Old Testament know about the temple of God. That here on earth, it was a symbol of the place that God dwelt amongst his people. That God would dwell in the holiest of holiest, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and the Spirit of God would hover, the Shekinah glory of God would hover there. That the temple represents where God dwells. It's the house of God. It's the place of God. But that temple that's mentioned in the Old Testament, that temple now reserved in you and me, you are the temple of God. What if we saw our bodies as belonging to God? Rem Brown, for real though, for real. What if we really saw our bodies as belonging to God? This statement, it strikes at the heart of the day in which we live, this modern independent society. That it's my body. I can live it up. I can party it up. I can drink it up. I can sex it up. I can smoke it up. I can dress it down or don't put much dress on it at all. That my body is for my pleasure. I do what I want to do with my body. But this flies in the face of what Paul is talking about this morning to us. That we want to thrive in these bodies for the Lord, but we got to do it God's way. Paul flips the script that you've been purchased, y'all. That you have been redeemed by the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And your body is precious to God. You are the temple of God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't forget that. Paul says, don't you realize that? And I want you to know that today, that you are the temple. Your body belongs. It belongs to God. Your body is not your property. It belongs to God. Listen, we just rent these things out for a little while, y'all. That's right. If you don't believe me, listen, a little while, you're going to be gone from here, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. From earth you came, from the earth you're going to return. Thriving in these bodies means honoring God with our bodies. This is more than theology, y'all. This is practical. So how do we live this thing out each and every day? How do we take these precious bodies that God has given us and we live our lives in a way that pleases God? I'm glad y'all want to know this morning. So the first thing I want us to look at today, not only surviving these bodies, but thriving in them. How do we do it at the practical, everyday speed of life? What are some examples we can talk about today, some areas in our lives we can talk about today? Well, the first area, y'all, and I'm glad you want to know, it's with our physical health. Physical health, H-E-A-L-T-H. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, God had to deal with me on this one. I had to take some ouches on this one, y'all. So the question we have to ask ourselves, do we treat our bodies with care or abuse? Do we eat healthy or unhealthy? Is there a lack of eating in our lives? Do we deal with addictions that we need to let go of? Is there a lack of exercise, a lack of rest in our lives? All of this, y'all, is disrespect to the temple of God. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 16 says this: do you like honey? Do not eat too much because it will make you sick. There's another translation saying, listen, you eat too much of it, it will make you vomit. Listen, too much of a good thing is not, it's not a good thing. How we walk around to my liquor, I can eat whatever I want, whenever I want, as much as I want. Yeah, and you know that pork has got your head swimming. That we can eat whatever we think we want. And here's the thing, y'all. We eat stuff we think we shouldn't be eating. We eat too much of it. And then we got high blood pressure, we got diabetes, and all of it. And we want to heal in prayer for diabetes. Y'all ain't hearing me today. There's some stuff, y'all, we have control over. You know, a lot of our health problems, that we are the problem. And look, I'm pointing the finger at me first, if y'all want to know. I'm pointing to a lot of our health problems, they are our problem, because we say, listen, I can eat all the fried chicken I want to, all the ham hock, all the neck bones I want to, because I was, that's the kind of stuff I grew up on, y'all. But do you not know that too much of that stuff will make you sick? Do you not know too much of that stuff will give you high blood pressure, diabetes, and all that other stuff? So what are we willing to do about our physical health? Like, what we want to stay in good shape, y'all. We want great physiques and all of that. We want to look good and all of that. But listen, you got to eat. There's some folk, listen, you may not eat enough. That you got to eat something, y'all. That's never been my problem. Let me make that clear. Not wanting to eat, that's never been my problem. I got some issues, y'all, but eating, that's not one of them. That's not a problem at all. I'm on the opposite side of that. Listen, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 says this, that bodily exercise profits little. Now listen, don't take that scripture out of context, because there's some folk that go around, well, listen, I got to die of something. You know, so I might as well go eat what I want to eat, y'all, because, yeah, I'm going to leave here. I got to leave here with something, so I might as well go ahead and do it. Don't misinterpret, don't misuse the scripture. First Timothy, Paul is just simply saying that, listen, spiritual exercise is greater than physical exercise. But what he's not saying, Brother Earl, is that physical exercise does not profit you something. So that means you have to put the potato chip bag down. You have to get up off the couch. And you have to do something. I was quiet in here today. I knew I wasn't, Brian, I wasn't gonna have a lot of amens today. That's all right. That's why I wore my big clothes, so I can look a little. So, and I realize this. Listen, there are some things, y'all, that are beyond our control. You know, there are some people that are born with physical defects. People are ill. They get sick. Listen, age gets on you. And I tell you, when you get into surgery, you can't do the stuff you used to do. You just can't. And while I realize that, we still should not misuse these bodies. That from a health perspective, we ought to take care of our bodies. Listen, I found out some a long time ago. Listen, you can try to cheat on your body if you want to, but your body will tell the truth on you. Yeah, keep on cheating on it. Keep on eating the wrong things. Keep on not following the doctor's order. Yeah, anybody, look at me. Don't look around. Look at me. Have you ever gone to a family reunion, or you gone to a class reunion? And have you ever seen anybody on the street you haven't seen in a minute? You haven't seen them in a while, y'all, and you go, ooh wee. You don't say it. You just say it to yourself. Ooh wee, they done been down and through there. That's a come on now. I know I ain't by myself. But guess what? They may be saying the same thing about you. But we can't cheat on these bodies. Eventually, it's going to come out and it's going to tell the truth. So we have to take care of our physical health. We have to take care of these bodies. Maintain your temple. So physical health is just one area. Another area that Paul talks about, y'all, to lean in and hear what I'm saying to you today, is the area of purity. Say with me, purity. Oh, y'all didn't say a lot. Purity. So are we engaging in actions, y'all, on screen or in real life that defile what God calls holy and sacred? Romans 12, 1. I plead with you, my brothers and sisters, present your bodies as a living sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. We worship God in these temples and in these bodies. So who or what we give our bodies to, it matters. It matters much to God, and it ought to matter to us today. We live in this age, y'all, of liberality, of sexual freedom. Do what you want to do, with who you want to do it with, whenever you want to do it with them, and it's supposed to be all good. That's a lie from the pits of hell. That, y'all, we have these songs that are out today. And so folk always say, oh, he's already judgmental. And I realize this, that people come into the house of God just as they are. And some come in brand new. They come in off the streets. And I'm not judging anybody today. But listen, if you've been saved for 10 years, there ought to be something different about your level of purity in your life. There ought to be something that's changed in your life. And so I ain't judging you. I'm being biblical today, and I'm going to prove it to you in just a minute. But we're talking about purity in our lives, that your body is the Lord's temple. That means that the young people, the single people, listen, you just can't get your freak on. Listen, it can't be like that. There needs to be a ring on it. Listen, so how often, y'all, listen. Married folk, listen, you got a wife or a husband. You can't just get, you got a wife or a husband. I'm trying to keep this thing rated G, y'all. We're keeping it rated G. We're keeping it rated, but y'all know what I'm talking about. How often do we visit drama TV, gossip TV, Skinamax, and sin.com? God is watching. God knows what we are doing in these bodies. Imagine if your body was a billboard for God. What would your body say? You know the big billboards you see on. What would your body say if your body were a billboard for the Lord? Y'all, I always say we go to these awards, things we see on TV, these award ceremonies and stuff, and you know that people get the best album of the year, you know, and the album got every curse word, and they made up some curse words on the album. They got, you know, when they do their debut performance, the ladies come out, they barely dress, and they shake, and they get the award. What's the first thing they say? Now, how are we going to embarrass God like that? The first thing I want to do is give thanks to God. Oh, no. No, that God don't roll like that. We need some more old school in the house. Yes, sir. We need just the truth. So I was watching, I didn't watch it live. I watched the recording of the BET, the 2025 awards, and you know, the famous artist at the end of the show, and you know, he was singing the Christian songs, and he brought all the folks out on the stage, and y'all, and I'm looking at some of the dress. They singing about Jesus, but I'm looking at some of the folk on the stage, and now keep the thighs at Popeyes. That don't need to be on the stage singing about Jesus. It don't need to be like that. Ah, they saying, oh, he being judgmental. I'm not trying to suggest to you that because you come out on stage and your clothes are tight and they short, or you got a dress on and it's real thigh high. I'm not saying, I didn't say you're going to hell. I'm saying if your body were a billboard, and in that moment, how well would you be representing Jesus? For real though. That we are representing, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And so you've been saved for a while. You ought to know some better about some stuff, y'all. We ought to know how to do better. Purity. Again, 2 Corinthians 6, 17. It says this, come out from amongst them, saith the Lord. He says, don't touch the unclean thing and I will receive you. Romans 6, 14, sin shall not have dominion over you. That you're not under the law, but you are under grace. Through the grace of God, we have the power to resist. We have the power to live lives that please God in purity and in holiness. That your body is the temple of God. You are a sacred space for him. Yeah. Galatians 5, 16, walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, come
I knew I wouldn't get a whole lot of amens. Hello, walls. Amen to the walls this morning. Y'all, there's an old Ivory soap commercial that used to boast the product was 99.7% pure. No additives, no impurities, no added fragrances or color. They would tout other soaps might smell better, it might look better, but Ivory soap, they distinguished themselves from other soaps. They boasted in their purity. Listen, there are people in their churches today that boast in their big name. They boast in their ability to pray. They boast in their material blessings. They boast in their name. They boast in how much property they. But what if God wanted us to be distinguished and to boast in the purity that we have in living lives that actually please God? Y'all said this morning, I give myself away. I'm going to hold you to it today. If you say you surrender to God and you give yourself, what does it look like at the everyday speed of life in your life? You know that and God knows it. God called us to live lives of purity, lives of holiness before him. This last thing and I'm done. Y'all see the pastor, he done beating up on us. Listen, 1 Timothy 2, your spare time, verses 2, 3, 4. 1 Peter 3, I'm bringing those up. Go to your Bible. I'm not just making this up. The Bible talks about modesty. God teaches modesty. And I know we live in an age, well, what does that look like? Because it seems kind of subjective. You know, it's so it doesn't mean that you can't have any makeup on. You got to walk around looking like a mud duck. That's not what it means. But here's what I believe. Because I don't want to split hairs when we talk about modesty and subject. What does it really look like? I believe this, though. If the Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you, the Holy Ghost won't lie. So, when you walk by that mirror, the Holy Ghost says, oh, wait. And I'm not just talking about the ladies either. I'm talking about the guys, too. Because we can wear some tight stuff, too, y'all. You might have muscles and all of that, but leave that to your wife or your husband at home. I'm just saying what I'm saying, y'all. I'm saying what I'm saying. Purity! Y'all, this last thing, and I am done. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I am done. The last area I want to talk about is personal identity. That you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That your body is God's property. And in no greater area than we need to know this than in personal identity. Because the world tells you again, your body belongs to you. Do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, however you want to do it. But God says, no, you are mine, that you are bought with the highest of prices, that you are bought with the blood of the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that he saved you. You are a representative of Jesus in this world. God's word is proof that your personal identity can be found in a personal Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. 1 Peter 2:9, that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, called out of darkness into the marvelous light. Psalm 139:14, I will praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You're fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. So in terms of your personal identity, how do you see yourself this morning? Know that you are valuable to God, that you are precious to God. Ladies, if he values you, then let him put a ring on it. Let me say that again. Lady, if he says he really loves you and he values you, let him put a ring on it. Man, your value is not in your ability to perform. That your value and your worth is found in God. You are the temple of God. That your personal identity is in him. Yeah. Remember, your purpose is closely related to your identity. as it helps to define who you are and influences the choices that you make in life, what you value in this life. Your purpose is tied to how you perceive yourself. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says, before I formed you in the womb, listen, I called you, Jeremiah, to be a prophet to the nations. Before you were born, God already had a purpose for your life and for my life. But we cannot fulfill that purpose if we decide we're going to live our lives on our own terms. We can't fulfill it if, when it comes to our personal identity, that it becomes about serving us and just us. That God called you and me to serve other people, to be witnesses to a world that's walking in darkness. Do we use our bodies to serve simply ourselves or other people? You are not disposable. You are not forgotten. You are not ordinary, but you're somebody to God. You are a living, sacred dwelling place for the presence of God by way of his Holy Spirit, that you are priceless. When it comes to our bodies, all of us are simply taking up rented space, y'all. At the end of the day, we're all just simply taking up rented space. We're going to all leave here one day. And let's just be honest for 1 minute. We're taking up rented space. But can we be honest that maybe we've been like that relative or that neighbor, that we lived this life and we got some scuff marks on this body, some scratches in this temple, some blemish marks, some dirty and some dingy places. And the truth is that God in all rights should have evicted all of us. But I'm so glad, y'all, because the good news is that God sent a Savior into the world. And he gave his body, he gave his life for you and for me. That one day that God will give us a new house. God will give us a new temple. God will give us a new dwelling place. And I know it because the scriptures tell it. 2 Corinthians 1 says this. We know that when these bodies of ours are taken down like tents and folded away, they will be replaced by resurrection bodies in heaven. God made, not handmade. And we'll have these new bodies, these new places, these new dwelling places, these new temples that are made by God. But I say to you in the meantime, this rented space that you have, that it's grace space. And God wants you and me to thrive in these bodies, in these temples. But we have to do it, y'all. We have to do it God's way. Temple talk. Some questions I want y'all to ponder as we close out today. Let it marinate. Will you begin to honor God with your body through healthy habits and purity and self-control? You think about that. Will you reclaim the sacredness of who you are, body, soul, and spirit? Let it marinate. Will you daily remind yourself, I am not my own. I was bought with a price. Your body, God's property. The church said, amen. 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 Pray with me. Father, thank you so much for this word today. God, we sang earlier that we surrender all to you. May these simply not be words that we utter with our mouths. But to surrender ourselves to you, it means to give you all of us. It means to surrender our bodies to you as living sacrifices. God, we cannot live a life for you without the power of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, reign in us, rule in us. We surrender to you in this very moment. God, have your way in these bodies. Have your way in our lives right now. God, we give ourselves away totally, wholly, and completely. Reign in us. Do what you will of us in this moment and every day. And Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your saving grace. Jesus, we thank you for giving your body, for giving your life for us. And in this moment, speak, Holy Spirit, to that person that's without a relationship with you. Unction them even now. Speak to that person that's not connected to a local church somewhere. We all admit that we've sinned and fallen short of your glory. We confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We believe, Father, that you sent Jesus into the world to die for our sins, that one day we'll spend eternity with you. God, we thank you and we praise you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Can we give God praise in the house one more time? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Perhaps there's someone here today, you're not connected to a local church where you can fellowship with other believers, pray with other believers, hang out with other believers, fellowship and all of that. Listen, Living Faith Community Church is a great place, is a great place to be. The church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. Perhaps you are not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. We talk to you today. You need to be in a saving relationship with him. How do you do that? Just simply admit that you are a sinner. All have sinned and fallen short of his glory. That you're willing to turn from your sins and you're willing to turn to Jesus. Repentance. That you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. That he is the only way to God the Father. He is the only way out of these sins. And you believe that God sent him into the world and he gave his life for you and for me. That he died, but he did not stay dead. 3 days later, he got back up with all power. It's this Jesus we proclaim. This Jesus we confess. And so if you're here today, either believing for the first time, already saved but not connected to a local church, we invite you today. Our ushers are standing in the aisle. Their hands are extended. Won't you follow them in this moment to room number one across the hallway? They will take some information. And we'll welcome you. We'll welcome you with open arms. Will there be one today? Amen. Will there be one? We don't rush this moment. Will there be one? God loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you so much that he was willing to die for you and for me. In the fullness of time, at the right time, Christ came into this world and he gave his life. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. But he died for the unrighteous. He died for you and for me. Won't you surrender to him today? Give your life to him today. The church said, amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.